In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who do you worship? Who's your God? Well, we could answer at a very basic level. I believe in the one true God. And while we would be correct, that answer would not really shed much light about just who that God is. We also could respond with a very biblical answer from Exodus chapter 3, that our God is I am who am. But while that would give us a better understanding as to God's nature, it finds us no closer to a full understanding of who our God is. Throughout the Old Testament, we get glimpses of our God. We hear a voice in the burning bush. We see God's back as he passes by Moses in the cleft in the rock. We hear him with Elijah in the still, small voice. But it is not until Christ's baptism in the Jordan River that God chooses to reveal himself fully to us. One God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Blessed Trinity. Over the next few weeks, my brother deacons and I will be preaching a homily series about the fundamentals of our faith, beginning with who our God is. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. God's revelation to us begins with the fact that he is Father, not just a Father, but the Father. First, God is Father in a literal sense. He is true and eternal Father to Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. Christ is of one substance with the Father. His relationship with the Father is unique and singular. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. No one knows the Son except for the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. St. Augustine, when plumbing the depths of the great mystery of the Trinity, declared that if, as Scripture says, God is love, then we can understand the Trinity as a relationship of love. God the Father is the eternal lover. God the Son is the eternally beloved. And God the Holy Spirit is a spirit of love between the lover and the beloved. So at heart, the Father is the source of the deepest and purest love, a love that is eternal and complete. It always has been, is now, and always will be. I know that some of you may have had complicated relationships with your fathers, and that your image of fatherhood may be impacted by these past experiences. This may make it very difficult to embrace this idea of God's fatherhood. I cannot imagine the burden that this may be for you, and I'm so sorry that you have to carry that difficult load. But I want you to see in God the Father a fatherhood that is always there, is always love, and is always loving. This purest form of fatherhood is the model on which all other types of fatherhood should be based. All other fatherhood and paternity radiates out from it. As St. Paul tells the Ephesians, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." Second, God is Father because he is the Creator, the origin of all things. All things came to be through him, and without him, nothing came to be. He created everything. The universe and the stars and the planets, the earth, the mountains and the oceans, the oaks, the grass and the wheat, the ravens, the sheep and the oxen, and you. We are all his creation. He is our maker and father. In his work, Jesus of Nazareth Pope Benedict XVI reflects on this. We belong to him because he created us. Every human being is unique and willed as such by God. Every individual is known to him. In this sense, by virtue of creation itself, man is the child of God in a special way, and God is his true Father. As creator, God the Father loves and cares for all of his creatures. Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more important than they? What an amazing gift that the God, our Father, becomes our Father in creation, that we are made by someone who designs us and loves us as a unique creation. As Benedict XVI puts it, we are not some casual and meaningless product of evolution. Each of us is the result of a thought of God. Each of us is willed, each of us is loved, each of us is necessary. But God chose in his infinite love to make his fatherhood even more intimate and personal. And so he is Father in a third way. He's not just Father as our creator, but he is our real Father in that he has made us his adopted children through Christ. Rejoice, for we are the children of God. We have a Father who loves and cares for us so much that he is willing to give his only Son, the object of his eternal and complete love, for us. In the parable of the prodigal son, we see the image of a father who, although he has been wronged, takes back his repentant son. And not only takes him back, but rejoices. This is not just a parable. This is a true picture of our Father in heaven. And how do we take on this role as sons and daughters of God? Well, Pope Benedict XVI challenges us to see this adoption as having a dynamic quality to it. We are to develop our relationship by growing more and more deeply in communion with Jesus. As today's gospel tells us, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. But note that when we speak to God the Father, as Christ taught us, we do not refer to the Father as my Father, but rather as our Father. Benedict XVI notes, only within the we of disciples can we call God Father, because only through communion with Jesus Christ do we truly become children of God. In this sense, the word our is really rather demanding. It requires that we step out of the closed circle of I. It requires that we surrender ourselves to communion with the other children of God. It requires then that we strip ourselves of what is merely our own, of what divides. It requires that we accept the other, the others, that we open our ear and our heart to them. When we say the word our, as we will shortly, we say yes to the living church in which the Lord wanted to gather his new family. We live in a world of division. We live in a world of separation, a world torn apart by the same forces that led to the fall, disobedience and pride, a desire to see oneself as independent and totally self-sufficient, as Adam and Eve did in today's first reading. The only remedy to this is to realize that we all share the same Father. To realize that we are all dependent on the Father. To stop putting up the walls and battlements of adjectives and nouns that seek to divide or marginalize. To stop seeing ourselves and others as just rich or poor. red or blue, progressive or conservative, or however else you choose to identify yourself, and take on the only identity that matters: children of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.